All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going to really dig into something that's like the bedrock of any writing, and that's sentence length. You know, you sent over this super interesting piece that really gets into how we build sentences, especially when it comes to scientific writing. And what we really want to do today is kind of unpack that and figure out what all this means for really clear, effective communication.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Sentence length, it sounds like a pretty basic thing, right?
Yeah.
But there's actually a lot to it. You know, I'm sure most of us have heard that old advice, shorter sentences are better, they're more powerful, easier to grasp. And actually, the text you sent starts off with that exact idea.
Totally. It brings up like Strunk and White, those writing gurus, right? They're all about vigorous writing, you know, keeping it tight. They compare it to a well-designed picture or a machine, no unnecessary parts. Every word has to pull its weight. And it's like, yeah, I get that. We all love stuff that gets straight to the point, especially when you're trying to learn something new. And it's not just Strunk and White, right? There's this widespread belief that shorter sentences are just, well, easier on the brain. Especially for folks who are learning English. The text even points out that a lot of guides for researchers, they actually tell them to keep their sentences under 20 words for better readability.
Oh, it's like writing 101, right? Keep it concise, keep it clear. Mm-hmm. But then the thing that really grabbed me in this text is how it goes on to show how different things are in scientific writing.
It's a huge difference. Like the text says that in scientific papers, the average sentence can be anything from, say, 12 to 17 words by some counts, all the way up to 25, even 30 words in those peer-reviewed journals. And get this, some sentences are over 60 words long.
Whoa, that's a mouthful. And to show just how big of a difference that is, the text compares it to, get this, Harry Potter. In those books, the average sentence is only about 12 words. It really makes you think, like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So to our listener, if you've ever gotten lost in those super long sentences in a science paper, or maybe you're wondering if your own sentences are too short, too long, who knows? Well, this deep dive is for you. We're going to try to figure out why there's this difference and what it tells us about, you know, how to get our point across in different situations.
Okay, so let's dig into this whole shorter is better thing. We talked about Strunk and White, how they're all about being concise, and I think we can all agree when you're trying to learn something new, yeah, sure, punchy sentences feel good, easy to digest.
Totally. It's like bam, 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 information.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like you're working so hard to keep up. And, you know, the text also mentions that for people learning English, shorter sentences are often just easier to understand. Makes sense, right? Mm. Fewer words, simpler grammar, fewer things to trip over.
Exactly. So it kind of follows that a lot of guides would tell researchers, especially those who aren't native English speakers, to aim for these shorter sentences, under 20 words, right? Makes their research clearer, easier for everyone to access.
But here's the catch. When you look at what's actually happening in public scientific writing, there's this sort of mismatch between that advice and what's actually going on. The text lays it out. Those average sentence lengths, you know, 12 to 17 words, 25 to 30 in some cases, and then those mega sentences over 60 words. It's like, interesting.
It really makes you wonder, right? If being brief is supposed to be so important for clarity, why are there all these longer, more complicated sentences in scientific papers, you know, where being precise and clear is super important? What do you think, listener? Did this difference surprise you at all?
It definitely made me rethink how I see academic writing. It definitely throws a wrench in the works. And then the text throws in these really interesting little twists that might explain what's going on. For example, there's this kind of paradoxical finding. Sentences written by non-native English speakers, in published work, they can sometimes be shorter than the ones written by native speakers.
Huh, that's a curious one. What do you think might be behind that? The text throws out a couple of ideas, right?
Yeah, it does. One idea is that non-native speakers might be more careful about not being too wordy. They're like, okay, got to stick to the rules, got to be concise. While native speakers, they're maybe more comfortable with the language, so they're not so worried about keeping things super short in those early drafts.
Mm.
You know, maybe they ease up a bit on that whole being concise thing.
Makes sense. It's like the effort of writing in a second language actually forces you to be more streamlined. But then the text sort of shifts gears a little. It starts to say, hey, maybe word count isn't the only thing that matters when it comes to sentence length.
Right. It brings up a really important point. How much information is packed into each sentence? So instead of just counting words, the text says, look, try to see if your sentence is getting too crammed with ideas. And it gives this very practical tip. If you reach the end of your sentence and you've forgotten how it started, it's probably too long and convoluted.
That's so true. It's not about some magic number. It's about, like, how much mental juggling you're making the reader do. And the text also touches on this idea that each sentence should ideally just express one idea.
Yeah, sounds great in theory, right?
Yeah.
But as the text points out, it can be really tricky to actually do that, especially when you're writing about like complicated scientific stuff where everything's connected. How do you chop those ideas up neatly when they're all tangled together? Not so easy.
Totally. And then the text brings in this idea of understanding checkpoints. It says those little spaces between words, they're like pit stops for the reader's brain. You know, they let the reader catch their breath and make sense of things. And I thought that was a really interesting way to look at it.
It is. It shows that reading isn't just like this river of words rushing by, you know? Yeah. There are these little pauses built in that let our minds catch up and process. And maybe longer sentences, if they're well written, with clear structure and good punctuation, maybe they still have those checkpoints, even though the whole thing is longer. Like, think about commas or semicolons. They're like those little breathing spaces within a bigger thought.
Okay, so we've looked at why shorter sentences might be good, and we've seen why longer sentences pop up, especially in scientific writing. But the text is pretty clear that it's not a simple either a thing, right? It's all about mixing it up, having different sentence lengths.
Exactly. The text really stresses that having an average sentence length doesn't mean every sentence has to be the same length. There's strategy involved in how we build our sentences. Longer sentences, the text says, can be good for grabbing attention and creating flow, especially when you're explaining a complex argument or giving lots of details. But it also warns that longer sentences do require more focus from the reader.
Makes sense. You can totally get lost in a really long, rambling sentence if it's not well organized. On the other hand, the text talks about how short sentences can be great for grabbing attention and keeping the reader engaged. But it also says to be careful about having too many short sentences in a row. Why is that? What's the downside there?
Well, the text explains that when you have too many short, choppy sentences, it can actually make things feel disjointed and lacking in detail. It's like each short sentence gives you a little piece of information, but when you have a bunch of them in a row, it feels fragmented. You don't get those connections between ideas, that bigger picture. It's almost like reading a telegram, not a story.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of bullet points instead of a smooth, flowing explanation or argument. So it seems like the key takeaway is to find a balance, a rhythm. The text suggests that mixing long and short sentences helps you control the pace and keep the reader interested. Like, maybe you use a longer sentence to lay out a complex idea, and then you follow it with shorter ones to highlight key points or clarify things.
Exactly. It's about keeping things lively for the reader. A well-placed short sentence after a longer one, it's like a punchline or a moment of emphasis, or it can just bring things into focus after a more complex thought.
So as we wrap this up, it seems like that simple rule, shorter is better. Well, it's not so simple after all, especially when we consider all the different kinds of writing there are and the challenges of something like scientific writing.
That's the bottom line. The text ends by saying that both native and non-native English speakers, they need to move beyond just trying to hit a certain word count. What really matters is matching your sentence length to the idea you're trying to express, how complex it is, what it needs.
Right. It's about making deliberate choices about your sentences to serve your message and your audience. So now that we've thought about all this, about how sentences can be long or short and what they do, think about the last thing you read, or maybe something you wrote. Did the sentences help you understand, or did they get in the way? What could have been done differently with the sentence length to make things clearer, more impactful? This isn't just about following rules. It's about understanding how to use sentences as tools to get your ideas across with clarity and purpose. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.